Good morning to everyone. I gave this sermon a few weeks back at York, so the introduction will be a little off because current events have changed somewhat. But I'll bring it up a little up to date. When we look at the Middle East today, things are not too pleasant over there. Hamas was shooting at Israel. Israel's lining up at the borders with their armies. And now this week they've had a ceasefire. And the Egyptian Brotherhood was there, and the ones that are in power now in Egypt, and they came up with this ceasefire. How long will it last? Who knows? They've been fighting in the Middle East all my life. I don't remember when they were. Oh, there's been times when it's been calmer, but they've always been doing something in the Middle East. They said that Hamas says that they got a lot of supplies from Iran to send those missiles in. So apparently Iran is helping Hamas. Where will this lead? I don't know. Is God's kingdom around the corner? It could possibly very well be. In our nation, the debt is going out of control. And I guess if no one does anything, the cuts will take place on January 1st. And we're all going to feel the suffering and the pain of it. Our taxes will rise. Our benefits that you received, if you're old, will be cut. And so will many other things. So it isn't a very pleasant time to think about at the moment. It's kind of depressing. Now I'll go back to where I was. This was right after the feast. The weather the last few days was gloomy. Of course, the last couple days was beautiful here. And it was lovely. But when we came home from the feast, it was gloomy. If we remember, there was about 2 weeks of gloom. No sunshine. And there was a terrible storm coming up the coast called Sandy. And as it came up the coast, it kept getting larger and larger. And they said that when it hit land, it spread from Louisiana to Maine. The great destruction, as we all know, in New York, Long Island, and on the New Jersey coast. Many things didn't look too promising at that time. That week that was taking place, I was feeling gloom, depressed. The feast was over. I wasn't feeling too good. I had a lot of pain in my foot and my knee, and my back hurt all week long. So it didn't help that I didn't feel good. And the weather, of course, was gloomy, and I was blue. A little blue, I said, but sometimes I look back, I think I was a lot of blue. Do you ever get blue when you're in your life? Like, for instance, when you're working and you have so much to do, and you can't get it all accomplished in the time period that's supposed to be done. I get blue sometimes with that. After the feast, we get back into our routines, and we're all back into them now, right? We're working. We're going to school, we've caught up on our book works and so forth at school and many other things. And then, of course, the nights are getting longer and the days are getting shorter, so that don't help us not to get gloomy. So perhaps you have been getting gloomy sometime since the feast. And the winter is coming on, the snow will come, and perhaps you'll get gloomy then. It's easy at those times to become discouraged. So today I like to look at God's word on the subject of encouragement, because I needed some encouragement at that time. I titled my sermon today, God's Encouragement for Us. God's Encouragement for Us. The first area I'd like to look at is God tells us not to be fearful or discouraged because why? Because he is with us. Let's look at some scriptures where he denotes that throughout the scriptures about that he is going to be with us. And that's a tremendous comfort. Let's go to Isaiah 41, verse 8. Isaiah 41, verse 8. Isaiah 41, and we'll start in verse 8. It says, let's see if I get there. But you, Israel, are my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the descendants of Abraham, my friend. And as we know, We are descendants of Abraham through the spiritual part. You whom I have taken from the ends of the earth. If you think about it, God in the next part of the verse, he says, and called from its farthest regions and said to you, you are my servants. If you think about it, there's people called all over this world, not just here. And I know for years when I was a young person, I didn't realize that there was people called in other parts of the world and which had never understood the truth, and I didn't know about them. Like in Russia there, Ukraine, there's some in Ukraine, there's some in Sri Lanka, that's farther, much farther south near India, and many other parts that I didn't know of when I was young. But notice he says, you are my servants, I have chosen you, and have not cast you away, in the end of verse 9. And then he states in verse 10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Isn't that encouraging? Yes, he says then, I will help you. So he's going to strengthen us, and he's going to help us. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So when we get down in the dumps, God's going to be there literally, in a spiritual sense, to lift us up and hold us up. Sort of like that story, that card or whatever it was, Footprints in the Sand. You all remember that years ago. Footprints in the Sand. And there was two footprints, and there was one, no footprints, only one set. And he go, what was going on there? He said, that's where Christ said, I was carrying you along till you got better. So his right hands are right there to help us. So we are God's children, and God promises to help us in all kinds of areas. He will hold up with his, he will hold us up with his right hand. He's there to help us continually. Let's go to 2 Kings verse 6. We'll look at an example of God's intervention. 2 Kings verse 6. And we'll start in verse 8. 2 Kings verse 6 and verse 8. And this was talking about the time of Elijah. And there was, if you read right before the beginning of the chapter, it's about the time they were cutting down some woods. And they, remember the, where the axe fell off, and the servant said to Elijah, it's borrowed. And he throws a branch in, and the ox head comes up, and he's able to pick it up and bring it, give it back to its proper owner. Then we get to about the Syrian war in verse 8. Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel, and he consulted one of his servants, saying, my camp will be in such and such a place. So he's telling like the generals or whatever, we're going to move the camp over to here. And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there. So God's servant told the king of Israel not to go in that area. Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. So it happened numerous times. He would always find out where the king of Syria was going to attack him. Therefore, the heart of the king of Assyria was greatly troubled by this thing, and he called his servants and said to him, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? Who is a traitor? Who's telling the king of Israel our next battle plans and where we're moving to? And one of his servants says, none, my lord, O king, but Elijah the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. So he's telling the king exactly what you speak in your bedroom. Now, of course, the Syrian king wasn't too pleased. Look what he says in verse 13. So he says, go and see where he is, that I may send and get him. And it was told him, saying, surely he is in Dothan. Therefore he sent his horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. So you could imagine if you were living in a small town and you woke up the next morning, there's a huge army all around you. And his servant goes out in verse 15, and this is what he sees, that huge army. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? How can we defend ourselves? What is going to happen next? He was fearful. So he answered, Elijah answered, do not fear, for these who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountains were full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So God's angels of hosts was all around protecting Elijah and his servants. God's angels all around each of us, each of those he has called and opened our minds to his truth. He is watching over us. We are his chosen people. I'm sure each of you have individual stories, can relate that in your life where angels or God has protected you in miraculous ways. I can think of some. I'm sure you can too. I think one of the most easiest ones to think of is cars. Things happen in cars. They happen fast. And usually there's an accident, or there's going to be an accident, and you think how there's no way things that the events that take place that you can avoid the accident, and yet somehow the cars don't hit. I've known things that took place in my life that's happened. I've told you some of those stories where a car passed in Miserville in the wall. There's a stone wall on the right, and there's no place to go, and a car passed, and we were going to hit each other head on. And I remember thinking, there's no way we're not going to hit. I stepped on the brakes, and I remember still watching the car come straight at me, and it didn't turn in. It just went sideways in front of the truck, and we didn't hit. And I remember Pat Smith was sitting beside me, and she was white as a sheet. I told you that part numerous times. She was literally white as a sheet. I thought she was not there anymore, but she was. I asked her how she was, and she said, I'm all right. That's how she spoke. Couldn't even get the words out. Just shook. You could hear her shaking inside. The words came out shaking. Well, we were all very shaking. And I remember when I passed the truck driver coming the other way, he just was shaking his head, same as me. We were shaking our head in disbelief that this actually took place and none of us were hurt. Now, you can relate stories like that in cars too, I'm sure. Accidents. Perhaps it's something else where you're related on work. Lifting heavy things, and things don't go the way they plan and they drop. But you're not hurt. God intervenes with his angels. He certainly protected Elijah and his servant, and he certainly protects us. God protects, and he's watching out for each of us with his angels around us. This should be of a great comfort to each of us, and definitely a great encouragement when we get depressed. We should think about those things that God did in our lives. Let's go to Psalms 23. Psalms 23. Now, you know this psalm by heart. I heard this psalm, I think, at the first funeral I went to when I was a little boy, for one of my great uncles or great aunts. I can't remember the person anymore. I remember it was at a funeral, and they read this psalm. And at the top of the heading, it says, "A Psalm of Divine Shepherd." Now, I want you to we're going to take this psalm apart a little bit. And I want you to think about the encouraging words that David writes to us in this psalm. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd," and then he says, "I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." So he provides as a lamb. He provides the grass that it needs to eat, and it gives it water, and he's around them to protect them. In verse 3, he says, "He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." So he teaches us his ways. God is constantly teaching us his ways. Verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," you know we're all going to walk through that valley someday in our life, no matter when it is. Most of us won't be changed in that moment in the twinkling of an eye. But you can hope for that. I hoped for that when I was young. But as I get older, I think that the possibility, I watched my father, I seen him on the Thanksgiving. Death is just around the corner. There's no way around it. The body doesn't work anymore. The heart doesn't work right. And Parkinson is making him shake. But you can hold a conversation with him, and he knows everything. He has short-term memory. He has long-term memory. And he can hold a conversation with you and just like not quite like he did when he was 55, but still was able to hold a conversation with me. And I remember when I left on Thursday night, he said, I said, "I love you," which is Interesting, he never was much of a person that showed his affections very much, but he also said, we had good times together. So that's something that's really special. And I said, yes, we did have a lot of good times together. He knows life is not going to go on anymore, not this physical life. And then we left it with, we'll see each other in the kingdom. So I don't know if I'll get to see him again when he's alive or not, but possibly, depending on what God so desires. It says, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, which all of us will do, I will fear no evil. Why not? For you are with me, he says in the next verse. God says, you are with me. I am with you. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. He's leading us. He's guiding us. He's teaching us what's right and wrong. He tells us that in his scriptures. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. When you look at your life as you age, you see all the many blessings God has given us. And maybe when you're young, you don't see quite them as much, but as you age, you see more and more and more. And how God's intervened in your life to give you those blessings because of following his ways. Notice he says in verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And then he makes a wonderful promise, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So he promises eternal life. What a very encouraging psalm he gives us. What more could we ask for? God will see us through every trial. And we all have trials, whether they're physical things where our health isn't good, or perhaps it's at work and you don't do everything right and you get caught and you have to repair the things that don't work right because you made a human error just because you're human. You didn't think of everything. Or whatever. God helps us through those trials and difficulties. He provides for every physical need that we can possibly think of. And many more things. He blesses us with extra things that we don't need. Even he'll be there to comfort us at our death. And he promises us eternal life. Let's go to Psalms 46. Psalms 46. As I did this study, when I was feeling depressed, the more I read, the more encouraging I had, the less depression I had. Psalm 46, verse 1 to 3. It says about God is our refuge and our strength. Verse 1, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. He's always there. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed. You could think of earthquakes. Perhaps that's why it's removed, or great floods. And though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. And if you think about when I was doing this, Sandy was off the coast, and I was thinking of all the destruction that the flood had done the year before that came up through, on had some properties on the island and just flooded them. You had a lot of work to do. So it's very easy when it says, and though the mountains be carried away into the midst of the sea, I was thinking of the same thing. Well, probably everything will flood again. Who knows? Though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swellings. And you know, when the waters come, the mountains just deteriorate. Or when there's an earthquake, things open up and things are moved. They're not at the same place. It doesn't look the same when it's over. Things aren't the same. God will be with us no matter what physical ailments or what physical conditions or weather things that take place in our lives. We should not fear, though the earth should be shaken and totally changed. The mountains go into the sea. Though the roaring foams of a great storm, God will help each of us through it. And he does. It's miraculous to see how he helps us and makes things work out. Sometimes he makes it out better than what it was before. He helps us through those difficult times. Let's go to Psalms 34, verse 8. Psalms 34 and verse 8. Psalms 34 and verse 8, it says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. And because blessed is the man who takes refuge in him, really, because he's trusting in him. He's relying on him. Verse 9, O fear the Lord, you his saints, There is no want to those who fear him. So if you put God first and you trust in him and you rely on him, there's no want who fear God. God helps us through each thing. Let's read verse 10. The young lion lacks and suffers hunger, but those who seek God shall not lack any good thing. Oh, we might not have everything plush the way we like, but he's going to provide for us in some means, in some way. You can look in the scriptures, to the ancient scriptures of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and you can look at many other examples, and God's always helped them through their difficult times. Even when Abraham was up on the mountain with his son Isaac, and he was about to kill him, and God realized what importance, he finally realized that Abraham would do whatever God said, then God provided something for Abraham that he wouldn't have to kill his son. God always provides. Seek God first, and he will provide. Let's drop down to verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. He's watching us. And his ears are open to their cries. So when we pray, he's ready to listen. All we have to do is spend the time to do it, to spend time praying. He's what he really wants to hear us. He wants to hear us, our words. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Let's drop down to verse 17. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears. He hears us. He delivers them out of all their troubles. Everything. And the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and saves such as have a contrite spirit. You know, you can get so depressed. We know it. I've seen relatives get so depressed that they take their life. But God says, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and save such as have a contrite spirit. He's willing to help them through those difficult times. And that's just wonderful. God is near to a broken heart. Sure, those who have a crushed spirit, those who are depressed and feeling useless, God says he has saved them. That's very encouraging. Let's drop down to verse 19. It says, many are the affliction of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. He guards all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil slays the wicked. Verse 22, the Lord redeems the soul of his servant, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. So he's the promise of eternal life. Again, let's go to Psalms 119. Now I thought, since I got plenty of time here, I thought I'd just read the whole psalm. And that way you can expound upon it yourselves. Does that sound like a good idea? I don't think so. We're only going to read one verse. Psalm 119 and verse 165. I remember when I was a kid and I read this the first time, I thought, man, this psalm goes on forever. It's only about, I don't know how old, 8 or 9, maybe 10. And I thought, this thing never ends. Of course, you didn't understand everything at 8 or 9, but it was fun reading. Until I got bored. And then I had to put it down and come back to it. But there's a lot of information and a lot of wonderful things in it. Let's read verse 165. It says, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. So those who love God's law have great peace. Nothing causes them to stumble. What encouragement from God that he gives us peace. He gives us peace. He tells us we must follow him. And if we do, follow his laws, he will help us. And he will not let us stumble. And he will give us peace. And we think about that point, the first point, which is God, he is always with us. God tells us will not to be fearful or discouraged because he is always with us. You think about those things. He says God tells us not to be fearful or discouraged. Why? Because he is with us. He wants to help us. He cares for us. He's a loving father. He wants to hear us, and he wants to hear our prayers. And he promises us all these things. So how could we possibly become discouraged? Probably because I wasn't, or when we do, we weren't staying focused enough on him. We weren't spending the time necessary. The second point is we can have encouragement and hope in the promises of God. There's numerous promises. I went over some of them before, but we'll just go over a few others. Let's go to John 10, verse 27. John 10 and verse 27. John 10, verse 27, Jesus was asked by the Pharisees in 24, then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, "How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are Christ, tell us plainly." And then he answers, we'll drop down to verse 27. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." So a great promise is eternal, is a promise of eternal life, and no one's going to take us from God the Father. Oh, we can choose not to follow him, but he won't leave us once he's called us and working with us. He won't leave us. And it says, our elder brother is there. He's always watching over us as well. Let's drop down. What a comfort and what a great promise that is. Let's drop down to John 14, verses 1 and 3. John 14, just a few pages over. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." So here it tells us we will be with God, Christ, and we will dwell with him at his return. So he's going to leave, he's going to come back, and he promises that we will be there. That's great comfort too. First, let's go to Romans 5 and verse 6. Romans 5 and verse 6. Of course, this is talking about joy and tribulation. We're jumping into the thought in verse 6. It says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Let's drop down to verse 9. "Much more than, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we should be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation." So it tells us why would we ever become discouraged when we know that Christ died for our sins? And we have hope of eternal life. It's wonderful. It's a great and tremendous promise. So, it's a promise. Christ paid for the penalty so that we could have eternal life. Let's go to Romans 8, verse 26. It says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness," in verse 26 of chapter 8. "For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groaning which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good, those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined, and to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, when he predestined, those he also called, and whom he called, those he justified, and whom he justified, those he glorified." So here it tells us what an absolute gift and hope and promise each of us have from our loving God and our elder brother, Jesus Christ. And let's drop down to verse 38 and 39 then. "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any created things shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is Christ Jesus our Lord. So knowing nothing can separate us from God. That is truly a very encouraging thing, and the great promise of the gift of eternal life. Let's go to Philippians 1, verse 6. Philippians 1, verse 6. It says, in the beginning of the chapter, it says about Paul's prayer of thanksgiving. I'm breaking into that. In verse 6, it says, being confident that of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ. So once God starts with us, he's going to continue to work with us until we're completed. He's completed with us. God won't give up on you, and you can count on that. You can count on that. So now as we look back, we see that from the first point that God is with us. He's holding us up with his right hand. He's there to help. God promises to protect and to watch over us with his angelic beings. God will see us through all the trials even of death when that comes, and God will be there to help us through it. And he'll give us eternal life. Though events take place around us, doesn't matter what it is, God says he'll be there to help us through it. He'll provide. He'll listen to our cries when we pray to him. He'll hear them and he'll answer our prayers. God cares for all those who are brokenhearted. God gives us peace and he helps us not to stumble. He's always around us. What more encouragement could we possibly want? Why do we ever become depressed? Because we don't stay focused on him. The second one, we can be encouraged out of the promises that God has given us. No one can snatch us from the Father or his Son. We have the hope of eternal life. Nothing can separate us from God, and God won't give up on either any of us. Now let's turn to 2 Peter verse 1 through 3. 2 Peter 1 through 3. Second Peter 1, and we'll start in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to the living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. I'm in the wrong one. Second Peter. Second Peter 1, verse 3. As his divine power is given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. So it is a great blessing. By which has been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We only do that because of God's truth and his opening our minds to his ways, his laws, and so forth, his commandments, to follow, so that we won't fall into those things, the ways of the world, through lust. Verse 5, but also for this reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Notice it seems that when you get to the bottom, you get to have that love, the love that God had for each of us. Verse 8, for if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let God develop those characteristics. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Verse 11. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What more encouragement do we need? Christ will be there. All we need to do is have total trust in Him. When we become discouraged, we need to remember God's words, His encouragement He gives to us, each of us, through His scriptures. They are very, very encouraging. Let's turn to, I think, Philippians 4 and verse 4 through 9. I think this sums it up very plain and clear. It's like a nutshell. So when we get depressed, we should turn to Philippians 4 and read in verse 4. Notice what it says in Philippians 4, verse 4. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand." Then he states, "Be anxious for nothing." Don't worry about anything. "But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made to known to God." God says He promised to hear our requests. All we have to do is ask. So He says, be anxious for nothing. Don't be concerned about the events that are taking place around you that are totally out of your hands. Verse 7, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And then He tells us something that we should do. "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true," and then He says, "whatever things are noble, just, pure, things that are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you've learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." We must dwell on God's word so we don't become depressed. And we need to listen to God's word so that we can be encouraged by what He tells us to do. Let us stay focused. We will not be discouraged or depressed if we stay focused. The nights are going to get longer. The daylight is going to get less. There's going to be more cloudy weather, and there's going to be terrible storms that will come upon us. The earth may shake, and the ground may open up around us. But God promises He will be there to protect us, to watch over us. And we need to be encouraged to keep our minds focused on God's words. He promises His promises, His gifts that He's given each of us. Let us dwell on these things, and then we won't be depressed.